I sold the Clio.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's really blowing the pipes out in there.
Ben's gone.
So, I believe you should always have five backed up at any one moment.
And then also the car videos.
Wow, crazy.
Hello and welcome back to the Cream Podcast, the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. Number 54. I am Will. To my right is Edwin. And behind the camera, we have Benjamin.
Hello.
Nice, clean one.
Now, at the beginning of every single podcast, we ask ourselves, do cars rule or ruin everything around us in the last week? Edwin, would you like to kick us off?
I think it's been fine. No, it hasn't, actually, because of the Evo. It's still stuck on the lift.
Oh, that's fine.
I put the Evo on the lift to do just a brief bit of work. And then parts broke. Things did not fix themselves. And now I'm waiting on parts. Also, I've got a cold. Apologies. You'll have to excuse me on this one. But so it's a ruin for now. But by proxy of Ben's rule, I'm happy.
Okay.
That makes sense. Maybe, Ben, over to you. Why is it what is it?
It's a huge rule.
Okay.
And it's because the S2000, and it's not done.
No.
But for the video, it's done. And for the initial build is done.
The audience would have seen it. Yes, by the time this comes out.
Yeah, so we can put a photo on the screen here.
Of your S2000.
Yes, my S2000 looking wonderful. Edwin, thank you. You dedicated.
Ah, it's not just me, it's Will as well.
Well, for both of you, we can't discuss accents, both of you for helping with the build, but for dialing the fitment all morning today.
That's all right. There's more to come on that. And also, we'll fix the fitment.
Thank you both for your help making it look good, because it looks amazing.
It's a truly nice. I mean, there was one read. I can't remember if this was actually, this is since the last podcast, your little discovery in your arches.
Small L.
Yeah, we had the arches rolled, which if you don't know what that means, I can't explain very easily.
There is a lip,
maybe.
Your arches have, they don't just end, they have a 90 degree lip that goes in towards the tire, which is for manufacturing. And they put the spot welds for two, because basically they have two skins inside. You have the outside skin, the one that you paint, and then the inside structure of the car. They put them together, they have a lip. You don't want that if you're running like angry fitment, so you roll the lip in. But there is a side effect. If you have some rust in your arches, which we found out Ben did, it gets tough for you.
But it's not that much rust. It just means there are a few little points where it doesn't bend inwards. It's more not snappy.
If you're into stance, snappy. you know it as bacon fenders. Ben's got a little bit of bacon.
But
they
need doing anyway. I knew that. So it's fine for now, and they will get done professionally.
But it looks
so good.
Incredulous.
It does. It does look very good.
I was behind you guys. You guys went out to film the last bit of the video. I was driving behind in Will's new car. And I turned around a junction, and I could see the full side profile of the car, and it looks lovely. Simply wonderful.
It does look very pleasant. And my first, well, we went to Mexico, and I had my first skid.
First little skid.
Had to really squeeze that one out of you, though. Brent, picture the scene. We are in a Honda S2000, a limited slip differential, fitted as standard. Rear-wheel drive, a manual gearbox, and a young boy behind the wheel.
Rain tires on that?
We've got some semi-slick track tires on, and we have got slippery, greasy, leafy roads to slip on. We come up to a little junction, and Ben wasn't going to. So I said, come on, just a small one.
So we finished doing we did like a final drive section, and we're like, oh, it's great, subscribe. And then I cut the camera, and then Will goes, we have it on audio. He immediately goes, right, there's a junction here. And I was like, nah.
In Mexico, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah. So we cut the camera, flew to Mexico.
That was the one.
It was raining like crazy. And yeah, then we said, at the junction, just give him a little bit of extra. And my first
and now, and from behind, look great. Lovely little slide.
Will hasn't ever seen me do it before. And he was a bit nervous. He went, go on then. I went for it. He didn't think I was going to do it. I knew that for a fact. And then as I did it, he went, and like the ass came out a little bit further than I think he expected. He went, oh. So.
It was a bit worrying, because then I thought either your confidence will grow and the next few corners will go like this and we're going to be facing Edwin soon. But you learned your lesson after that.
Just so,
yeah.
Rule for Benjamin.
Big rule.
William.
I'm going to go with the rule as well. I mean, post-burglary concerns.
Yeah.
And Glado is currently away, actually getting a PPF done very kindly by the guys at Topaz. I went to Topaz the other week and I love my Glado and I think it's amazing. I went in there and I thought, I am out of place. Yeah. There was another Glado there, funny enough.
For those of you that don't know, what sort of clientele does Topaz have?
Topaz, well, Thomas, who may be listening to this as Horsepower Hunters.
Yo, shout out.
Sort of set this thing up, gave me a little tour And I've walked in, and there was a couple of, like, you know, there was a Urus. So I thought, Urus, blah, blah, blah. And in the corner, there was a Koenigsegg 1-1.
Oh, okay. Oh,
wow. Just being PPF. That's like, okay. And then there was the an SLR, what do you call that, a Roadster?
MSO.
MSO HDK thing. Yep. So huge wing, like a massive wing. Ridiculous body kit, a load of custom bits on the interior in ridiculous, like, baby blue color. I thought, all right, okay. I'm not sure I'm meant to be here.
I can't remember if it was, either the 250 GTO or the McLaren F1. One was paint matched to the other. I think it was the F1.
Hmm.
And that was done by Topaz.
Okay,
that's how you know.
Yeah. You'd never expect it kind of where it is, like an industrial state. But I went in, I was like, and again, this is a place I've heard about a million times, but never been there or seen it. So having my car down there is very, very cool. And then last Friday, Edward and I went to Glasgow, hence the accent you're about to hear very soon, to collect my possible new daily, possible not new daily, a CL500 with an AMG pack. Oh, it's just a delight.
It was really nice. And, well, should we talk about it now? The nicest human on earth?
Yeah, let's, because we've written it down to talk about it. We might as well talk about it now.
Divid.
So, won the car on Carwow, which we've done many, many times on other cars, and got it for a very good deal. It was £5,000, which is easily £3,000 or £4,000 cheaper than the cheapest advertised ones. Now, the guy bought it from, I had no idea who I was buying it from, absolutely no idea. Called him thinking, this is a CL owner. I could be dealing with a total knobber.
Yeah.
The softest spoken Scottish man answered the phone. And he said, I'll be honest, well, I bought the car when it was brand new for £101,000. I'm a little bit disappointed to lose it for £5,000, but I've had my fun with it. And he kept going on. He kept saying about, you know, how he bought the car, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, yeah, you know, there's a problem with the amplifier. So that's why I've chucked in my private plate. My private plate is valued at around £600 and the amplifier is about £300. I thought that should cover the cost. And I was like, you're being far too nice here.
Yeah.
Your car sold for £5,000. It's a cheap CL. But anyway, we flew up there. It was a 7-8 hour drive to get up there. So we thought, let's fly. It takes 40 minutes. And he picked us up from the airport.
Again, red flag number one. For someone to go, I live, he literally got in the minute. I live 30 minutes away, so I'm not going to make you get a taxi.
Yeah, he's...
Sorry.
He refused. I was messaging him. I said, look, I would more than happy to get a taxi. We can do that. It's fine. He's like, no, I will pick you up from the airport. It wasn't in the CL. It was in his new car.
What was that?
A Jaguar diesel. XE diesel.
Which we'll get onto, again, another point of how nice he was. There was, unfortunately, one of his neighbours had passed away and their kids had to deal with the estate. So he said to them, they had it's a Jag XE, 2.2 XE. And he said to them, go and get it valued and just let me know whatever they value it as. And they came back and said, yeah, the car's like valued at 8. So he went, so I gave him 10.
What?
So you just gave him overs just you know, nice. To be nice, to move it through.
So we're in the car with him after he's picked us up from the airport, very, very kindly. You know, when you leave an airport and you've got to pay the charge for pickup, which is normally some exorbitant fee for the time you're there, £6 it was for Glasgow. And we're like, no, we'll pay for that. He's like, no. And it's like, I've got it. Straight up refused to let us pay for it. I was like,
did
okay,
not let us.
Right, let's go from there. Driving along, and then starts. It's like, do you want to get a coffee for it? We can stop for a coffee, and then we can go and look at the car, go out for a spin in it, and then you can. He's like, no, we're all good. He's like, okay, we'll make you a coffee afterwards. I was like, and then we go around a roundabout about 5 minutes from his house, and he goes, oh, just so you know, well, I filled the tank for you as well. I know you've got a long journey home, so I thought I'll fill it up for you. That should make it back. I was shocked. I was like, you didn't have to do that.
That I was like, nah, something's wrong. We're getting abducted and smuggled somewhere. I'm being roofied or something. Something's going to happen.
I just thought there is a deep-rooted issue.
Yeah.
That there is layers and layers of niceness being added here.
Kind of sad in a way as well.
Of course.
You expect that. Like, because so many people are selling dodgy cars. You immediately see him doing a nice thing and go, oh, no, you know, it's too good to be true.
The short answer is he's Scottish, therefore he's nice.
I'm actually glad it was us who bought it. I was the highest bidder. There were 8 other bids on that car and they were all below £5,000. So had I not bid, I have no idea what their bids were. They could have been £2,000. They could have been £4,999. I've got no idea. So had it been like a dealer or a trader, I'm not saying they're all like this, but someone who would have gone there and potentially knocked him down a little
even
bit
more.
But after doing all that, before we got there, I think the day before, he took the car and got a tire report made by a tire shop with all of the treads and all of the pressures. He had it cleaned.
Brimmed it. To the absolute top.
It's a 90-litre tank, so we're talking 130-pound tank, basically.
And then we went for a drive. He was showing it off like a proud dad. I felt really bad in the back of it. And then he went, hey, let's go inside. Went inside, sat down inside. Then came the coffees. Then came the drinks. Then came the biscuits. He went, please take a biscuit. My wife will kill me if you don't have one. David, well, you're the nicest man on earth.
If I had just lost £96,000 on a Mercedes, I know that's over 15 years, but still, the servicing and everything, he's got to be 200 grand deep in that car, yeah. Almost.
Now, can David be our, I don't want to say it, but of the week?
Oh, he is the creamer of the week. He is sure. Absolutely the creamer of the week.
I don't think David's going to be listening, but if anyone knows David, I think the people of Glasgow or near Glasgow, I don't know where this town was, he was half an hour away. He was like Batman.
Robin Hood.
He was doing good deeds for the town.
I think Robin Hood retired. Is probably more accurate.
He told us.
Not Batman. Yeah, sorry, not a vigilante in the night.
Shines a Mercedes logo in the sky.
But he would just, is like people nearby or friends would have a house problem or some sort of other issue. And he'd go, oh, it's not a problem. I'll get that done for you. And he would just charge them like the parts or no labor or whatever.
Also, Ben, I don't know if we told you this. This is a quick little don't laugh. His neighbor came out while we were looking around the car. We were just about to go inside. And she went, oh, David. And he went, turned around. And she went, I've got this for you. And it was just a tomato.
What?
It was a tomato.
What, a singular tomato?
It was a singular tomato, which he received in payment for picking up one of her parcels. That was it.
It's a fantastic currency.
Listen, I've been to Scotland a few times. I've never seen that.
The inflation on the parcel tomato payment has really gone through the roof these years.
I quite like it.
But genuinely the nicest dude on earth.
Yeah, just the nicest
chap. Drove the car back.
Happy with the car? Back. I mean, yeah, so it's got a couple of small bits, but for the money.
Like, you know what, David really did you over. I'd be on the phone with Trading Standards.
Yeah, yeah. And he sent me a text saying, yeah, I'll let me know when you get home.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Please do let me know when you get home. Biscuits. I want to make sure you're safe.
Biscuits, we've got some biscuits.
Yeah, you said he gave you biscuits for the road.
Gold bars.
Also,
yeah, he said, please
again,
take them.
Scottish stereotype, but you pulled up with biscuits.
What were they, Ben? What were they, Ben?
What sort of biscuit is Scotland famous for?
Shortbreads.
Yep.
Yep. On the plate.
Shortbreads or tonics.
Correct.
Tonics.
That was the other one.
And then also added in there was just some golds. Maybe you thought, you know, a little southern softies.
Yeah.
They need a little something a little bit basic in a wrapper.
Can we talk about the blowing the nose thing or is that not?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. We can talk about blowing the nose. As you can hear, I have a bit of a cold. So we got back from the test drive and I was like, right, let me run to the toilet and blow my nose quickly. I got, you know, don't want a runny nose in David's house. So we walked in, and while they were doing the paperwork, I said, excuse me, David, do you mind if I just use your bathroom? And he went, it's just in there, don't worry. Walked in there, and I blew my nose. Meanwhile, Will, what did it sound like on the outside?
It's just like, but deeper, there was more bass to it. Easily mistakable as a fart.
Right. Like a big, not like a...
Yeah, there was space between them. And I, for the life of me, I cannot remember what he said, but he heard it, and it was something like, "Oh, he's really blowing the pipes out in there." And then the second one happened, and he went, "Oh well, better he does it in there than on the way back, eh?" I didn't have the heart to tell him that I don't think he's blowing your toilet out in there.
The best thing that we were laughing about in the car is the idea that I've gone, sorry, David, do you mind if I just use your toilet? And then within 3 seconds of closing the door, just absolutely letting them rip. And then walking back out 5 seconds later and going, great, thanks so much, is, David.
Thanks, I'll take a tonic biscuit. Wonderful.
A violation. You go to someone's house to do that.
But that's how nice he was. Not like just a wee joke. And then we moved on. That was it. He didn't care. He's like, you know, a better out than in, I always say.
He's already pushing one out in there.
But he was genuinely, I was scared the whole time because I thought something is wrong where I'm going to get half an hour down the road or just before home, it's going to blow up. Because a CL, if you don't know, is scary to own.
I mean, it's a two-door S-Class.
It's a two-door S-Class that has a very complicated and expensive to fix hydraulic suspension system among many other electronic bullshittery that if they're not maintained properly, they're pretty rough to maintain.
They're just, what do you call it, paperweights at that point.
I have owned it for 4 days. I'm £800 deep in the CL500. Jesus. Which, if it goes on, I won't be a CL500 owner for very long. One of them I knew about, the other one I didn't, which is actually suspension related. But yeah, that car genuinely, I've heard people say like an S-Class is the benchmark for ride quality.
Oh, it is.
Whatever. And then That's basically exactly the same as an S-Class. My word. And that's on big AMG wheels as well.
We'll leave the... Because there's lots of stuff that you'll see in a second channel video coming on it soon. But there's a reason that we... Well, yeah, the amplifier. We sat in silence on the way back.
Yes.
But it was 7 hours of just quiet. Yeah. Just smooth.
Complete.
And nice.
Smooth. Just testing out soft closed doors. Just nice.
Very nice.
I'm convinced you're on a trail of self-sabotage.
I did get a message from someone on Instagram who said, do you hate money?
Yeah, because you've just bought a Lamborghini and you thought, you know what, I need a reliable daily. Okay, cool. CL, I'll do.
In my head, it's the same level of oh shit, as the Range Rover. But I trust the Range Rover.
True, yeah, yeah.
That's so because the Range Rover I've done 20-something thousand miles in, so I'm like, cool. I know the ins and outs of this, but because that is the unknown, and I roughly know how much the Range Rover might cost me at some point if something goes wrong. Whereas the CL, I'm driving down the road, expecting bong, ABC fault, and then to drive down the road slammed on the floor.
And then to ring up Mercedes and they go, we do have the part, but it is £70 billion.
I did call, so I had to collect that part yesterday. It's a pulsation damper, whatever the hell that is. For the ABC, it goes into the power steering pump. And I called up the man and I said, this is the part I need, because you can't find it anywhere else, aftermarket. He's like, okay, yeah, searching for it. Here it is, pulsation damper. He went, bloody hell. That's £250. And he went, that's just the small thing that goes in the pump, right? I was like, yeah. He went, Christ.
God, I'm glad I don't own one of these.
Well, apparently they used to be £50 and now they're £250.
So right now, for everyone listening who might have lost track, you've got a French hot hatch that doesn't work.
I don't know. Yeah, no, that's...
Which still, I don't actually know. Where is that?
That is with Beanie Sport currently having the mysterious brake issue sorted. Okay. I do forget that I own that, but perfect. Hopefully soon.
A Lamborghini Gallardo, which
is not currently working.
It needs a gearbox, a clutch and other bits.
Yep.
A Range Rover as a backup, currently is good, but is a Range Rover.
Yeah.
And then now a CR500, which is fine, but possibly going to bankrupt you.
Do you know what? Sounding a lot like me, and that's not a great thing to be compared to.
How many cars do you have now?
Hey, don't worry about it.
No, but how many do you actually have?
I think that's two rules and a ruin. Let's say that. Yeah, that's two rules and a ruin. Look, I'm doing my best. I'm trying to get rid of them.
Will has four.
All I'll say is I'm doing my best to get rid of them.
I am going to thin down the herd, though. There is a plan. One or two will leave by the end of the year.
I sold the Clio.
Oh yeah. two subscribers.
Creamers.
I think so.
Okay. Well, either they are subscribers or they're stalkers. Because what happened?
I'm going to tell a story.
Of course.
It was fine. It was two very nice guys came and bought it. Very easy. After our last week's thing about saying how annoying people are, these two were very nice. Very, very normal people.
They got early access to the podcast before it went out. They heard it and they went, right.
Yeah, they went, okay, we're going to be a bit more normal. Anyway, they came down and looked at the car, fine. And as I was, the classic car questions, you know, how long you had it, why are you selling it, they said. I said, I just bought another car, which is a perfectly good reason. They didn't ask what car it was, so I didn't go any further with the conversation. Fine. Stuff moves on. I'd stay out of the way. I don't like to be all up in your business. Standing over there on my phone. I was actually looking at the X5, wondering, noticed that my windscreen, the seals are going. Anyway, the guy goes, oh, can I go for a test drive? I was like, yeah, I'll come with you for a test drive. So he insures it. We go out. And in the car, he goes,
he insured it on the spot.
I was going to say, that's
I've never seen that.
That is a good, that's a good omen.
And I don't have that good signal where I live. And he was like, no, I'm going to get signal so I can actually do it properly. And I was like, all right, cool. Drove it. And we're just having a normal conversation. And he goes, so what car have you bought? And I went, just an S2000. He went, oh, so you finally bought one then? There we go. And I was like, and there's nothing wrong with you with you being a podcast listener or a subscriber. Great, but I didn't know you were.
You went, so hang on a sec.
Yeah,
I don't know how this.
It was fine, but it really caught me off guard. Because I was like, whoa, because I just thought they were just a couple of guys that saw on the forum, but I don't know. Maybe
I would assume so if they said that. Otherwise, they've been stalking you.
But do you know what? Very
and you got the price that you were hoping for in the end. So are you sad or are you glad that it's gone?
I'm more glad than I am sad.
There it is.
I think 6 months ago I would have been very sad, but I drove it back and I thought, you know what, it's time.
And the upgrade, I'd say, is an upgrade.
Your glow up has been the max.
It's been absolutely
truly wonderful. I'm very pleased. But yes, that's gone now. So now I only have two cars, which is good.
Lovely.
Having three was quite worrying.
Was it stressing you?
Yeah.
And you got good money for it as well. Do you know what? Actually, I had a Creamer interaction that I wasn't expecting to happen. I put this in our list, so I'll mention it now. It's a scenario I've had a few times. I went to a nice Italian restaurant. Not this isn't the scenario. in Amersham or some other thing. And I could hear in the distance after I'd ordered my food.
That's accidental partridge.
I could hear in the distance someone talking about cars. And I hate that. Because I'm not that person who would want to go over and go, are you talking about cars? I would like to talk about cars.
Really. I like cars.
Yeah. Just leave my girlfriend there and go, sorry, there's someone over there talking about cars. I'm going to go and talk about cars. And I could just hit Lamborghini, Jaguar, McLaren. I was like, right, there's two names I recognize there. What's going on? And I thought nothing of it. And then it's a Facebook marketplace, piece of shit. I was like, what's going on? Who's talking about things over there? Because there wasn't many people in there. Going about the meal, blah, blah, blah. And the waiter, he doesn't say a peep. Nothing. Not an inkling. And right at the end, I pay to do the bill, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, win. He goes, oh, there you go. There's your bill. He goes, by the way, I'm a massive creamer. Congratulations on the colada. I was like, you know what?
Shout out.
It is professionally done as well.
Yeah, very
I would
nice.
never. He didn't let a peep out. He did his job. And then right at the end went, by the way, creamer slash subscriber.
But did it catch you off guard?
It caught me completely off guard, but it was the conversation I heard. And I'm not saying it was about me, but I was like, you're talking about cars in earshot.
Yeah.
I've had it multiple times in just like when you're out to eat or you're just nearby other people and they start going, you just hear like Subaru and wheels. I'm like,
let me in.
What are you talking about? Let me talk.
That's what it was, a deliberate thing. It was watch. I'm gonna really enjoy this guy. Like, I'm gonna say this. The moment you say one word, you going, hello? Who goes there?
But a distant car comp, especially if you can hear it really clearly and you can hear something wrong.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's really annoying. Because then you want to go, that's not really relevant, though, is it?
Do you know what I found it with? When we went to Monterey, when we were in the airport waiting around for the plane, obviously, it's just
did we go to Monterey?
Have we mentioned that before?
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that.
We should, yeah.
We should make a couple of videos.
We should go back again next year, I reckon.
Maybe get an electric car.
We should get upwards of 4 views there.
Yeah.
It actually might be a struggle.
Quite tough. when we're in the airport, because obviously it's a very big plane with many people, but...
We have been making fun of Ben being accidental partridge all week, and that's a nice one.
Obviously, it's a set.
This is an A380.
Quite a big plane. I almost said A380. I didn't want to text on you make fun. It was an A380, so it's quite a big plane. And a lot of people on that plane. Any more laughs? Cool. All right, cool. Sure. It flew very high in the sky.
Fair.
Many people on that aren't going to Monterey, but it's a big flight to San Francisco at that week. So there's a chance people will be going. So you'd be in the airport and you just hear somebody talking about it. And a lot of people there, not our industry, but the industry of cars. So I kept hearing like phone calls, people being like, yeah, I work for Bugatti. And they're like, okay.
No, yeah, we'll bring the Chiron in.
Yeah, so I was trying not to, well, I was listening, I'll be honest. Straight up.
It's just one of the toughest things where if someone's talking about something that's wrong, you want to butt in and go. If you can't just hear it, you want to clarify what they're talking. Because sometimes you will hear someone talking about something that sounds like it might be cool. And you're like,
I think we might have talked about it before on the podcast, but Will and I once had it sitting on the tube in London. I can't remember what it was, but it was Will and me next to each other. And then across from me was my roommate, Jake, and his girlfriend, Jess. And then next to her was some old dude. And Will and I were talking about something. I think it was something to do with James Bond and James Bond cars. And we said something. It was a Z3. And there was something I said about the Z3. And he just out of nowhere... That's not actually correct. And he was incorrect. He was trying to correct me on something that he was wrong about. And both Will and I just pounced on him and went, that's not true at all. It was a 1998, wasn't it? So they actually did it in that color. That was correct. And apparently afterwards, we just carried on talking. And Jess and Jake said they just watched him like crumble into a ball because he had decided to butt into someone else's conversation, correct them, and then be proved wrong instantly.
Yeah, that's not pleasant.
I would perhaps... get off the platform and then get back on the platform when the train wasn't there. Ooh, I think that's what I would do.
And wait for the next one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Get the next one, mate. Ben, you've put in here, S200. Bun. What are those numbers?
I'm the proud owner of S200.
Is that
your second, Mr. President, a second private airplane has joined Ben's fleet.
I would like you to explain, when did you purchase S200 BNN?
On the last podcast.
Right.
Just after our conversation.
Yeah. After the conversation, but while we were still recording, he bought it but didn't tell us and didn't tell the listeners.
I thought it came across a little bit distasteful.
What?
Because it was like, it was a bit like, you know, there's a plate for sale here, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah, but we said you'd been thinking about it for weeks.
I had, yeah, but I didn't want it to be, I don't know, I just felt a little bit.
Can you explain the number plate to the ladies and gentlemen at home?
It doesn't make any sense technically on the car because it's an S2000, but what a lot of people do on S2000s is they buy...
did explain this last podcast, but...
The letters and numbers?
Recap, yeah. S200, and then they'll get three letters on the end. It'll start with an O and then be two more letters. Yeah. So in my case, I might get S200 OBR for BR my name. And then you illegally space it.
You'd never.
I wouldn't, but some people do, where it says S2000, then two numbers. So I was looking for something of that sort, just for science. And I was like, oh, there's S200. Is there a S200 Ben? Because it'd be quite funny. I couldn't find that. I found S200 BNN, which is Ben.
Close.
So I now have S200 Ben.
Which is funny.
Gabs, who does the partnership stuff here for all the channels, he used to have an S2000. His was S200 TSJ.
Yeah, which now, is Ben. You get one guess for what TSJ
is. It is a difficult one.
Yeah.
Can I get some context? The S2000 Junior.
Yes, and the S2000 was used famously in Fast and Furious. The first one. Johnny Tran.
Tail, Slippy.
Junior, I did give you the last one.
Oh. Tail, Slippy, Junior.
Yes. No, it's too soon, Junior. Because, you know, he had at least $100,000.
Under the hood of that thing. Don't go near him. Meanwhile, Jesse doesn't even have brake calipers.
I think F20Cs are like
that's
like
why
five,
he didn't stop. Maybe. He carried on driving.
He's going to go get it washed for you, don't worry.
It's got $100,000 on the hood.
$100,000.
But they're like $5,000.
It also sounded pretty NA as well.
That means it make upwards of £120 foot
torque. As I know, from my skid.
But you've got another private plate, so, you know, rich millionaire.
Yeah.
Rich millionaire! Meanwhile, V10.
Yeah.
What have we got anecdotes and news-wise?
Right, Ben's put in a lot. Your news is back.
I'll give it. Ben's BBC, give yourselves a little bit of anecdotes before me. I don't want a hog.
We've been on loads of anecdotes.
We've been doting.
So much talking. All right, go on, then give me an anecdote.
We've just been doing.
Factory RTR from you, Benjamin.
Yes. So RTR, the Ford tuning.
What does that stand for?
Ready to rock.
Very good, Ben.
Nice. Which is quite cool. Yeah. They are going to be Ford's going to be making them from factory.
Yes.
I'm going to pull the article up not to be inaccurate.
Okay.
Now, what I'm seeing here.
Are you on it?
Most badass turbocharged Mustang.
Whoa!
Is this an EcoBoost or a V6? Oh,
that's tough. Oh, Ben is looking
at the first
it's
question.
It's also when I put these links in, it's so we can all discuss. So it's good if we all read them. I like the idea.
It's like one of those political discussion things where it's Ben has brought up a topic and then we've gone right. Give me the exact minutiae about this. You don't know this, idiot. What are you doing?
Fool.
Here we go. Ben's reading the article. Oh, that's a sigh. That was a big old sigh.
I just wish we could all be a team here, you know?
Okay, Ben, what do you want to talk about the RTR about?
I just thought it was cool. They're building it from factory.
Sorry. I just thought it was cool.
So usually RTR is aftermarket, correct?
Yes.
Right? So like what AMG perhaps used to be.
Yes.
And now AMG are, they're in-house. They're the boys.
Now could RTR be the same?
Well, yeah, possibly. You can now, I believe, you could, even until the beginning, I want to say, of the S550 Mustang, buy RTR parts through dealers. They were like dealer allocated parts. But now I believe they are literally working with Ford because they did, there's one of the RTR ones, it was on a Cletus McFarlane video, that they have a factory installed handbrake, like a hydro handbrake, but it works through the whole system so you can engage and disengage it. That's cool. They're messing around.
I have info.
Ford Racing, when it was Ford Racing, the era is still Ford Racing, but when they were doing parts, the Mark III Focus came out, they put a hydro handbrake in that. I've never seen one.
That's cool.
But it was a hydro handbrake, factory fit, that would lock the rear wheels.
I have information. I've refreshed my brain.
Please. Okay.
So, it's the first time they've sold a kit.
A car.
For the Ford ever. And we drove the Model T.
Ford will
the
now
first
sell.
Mustang ever.
Ford will now sell cars.
So they're going to make, it has obviously OEM warranty. It's basically part of Ford. But yep. Essentially it's for the EcoBoost version of it. And it has an anti-lag system. You know, it is a 2.3.
Okay.
So it's not a V8.
But it's got dark horse bits in it for like suspension and stuff. Right?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It will be good, but it will not be, he's not him.
Anti-lag thing interests me, but I've heard anti-lag before from manufacturers.
And it's
like Hyundai, and it's never, it's never the thing you're expecting, because it would just be destroying turbochargers.
Yeah.
They're not going to give you proper anti-lag and a warranty.
No, exactly.
Yeah, and also, RTR, I feel like, a name like Ready to Rock, you got something big under the hood there. That's a V8 motor.
Meanwhile,
the Ford Focus engine. Yeah.
I like Shelby. I think it's just cool.
Cool, man. Yeah, me too.
RTR doesn't... I don't know. It feels a bit...
But it does... Exactly. But I think that's why they're doing it. Because Shelby is old man. It's not, because they make cool stuff. But there is... RTR feels young.
It's hip. You know,
kids are
doing.
I really like the RTR triangles that they have in the grill. Those are cool. That is a really cool little design element.
Those guys. Are they intakes? They must be, sure.
I think so, yeah.
That's nice. Now, next piece of news from Benjamin, which is putting Ben through the ringer. Yeah. Rimac wants all of Bugatti.
Yeah.
I haven't read anything into
very
this.
Cool.
Cool. Matej Rimac, basically. So for people who don't know, Rimac was a electric car company that made hypercars. They had a concept one they did, which is the one that Richard Hammond crashed. They then, they've been doing battery tech and other stuff for a lot of manufacturers, and VW Audi, the big boys, said, yo, we want some of you. Mm. But from what I understand, and this could be wrong because it's complicated, is that Porsche is owned by VW Audi Group, right?
Yes.
So that Porsche bought 45% of Rimac, and then they merged it with Bugatti.
Yes.
So it is now called, technically, it's Bugatti Rimac is the company.
Yep.
And but Porsche still own 45% of the company. So Matej Rimac, apparently the CEO and the founder, has apparently getting fed up with something along the lines of explaining his ideas to 50 people for them to say yes before getting to actually do anything. So he's not really, I think he's basically saying he wants more control. So what he should do is leave and make his own YouTube channel, I think.
It's worked well for us.
He's making TDC.
Yeah.
So there'll be a video going, why I left Bugatti Rimac.
With him going...
But yeah, so he's put a bid in, I think, himself, I would assume.
Like a car wow, he's going up below reserve.
We'll put £10 extra on it. That's the classic bid move.
I read a billion, but I don't know.
A bill? So we'll come in with £1 billion.
To basically buy out Porsche from
Bugatti.
Bugatti. The whole company.
Yeah.
So it would then mean that he would own, or they would be back in control. Now, I also read something, again, I don't understand the sort of economics of it, but there's something like Porsche, the holding company for the other part of it, Porsche have a large stake in. So they would still have some element of owning the company, but they wouldn't own 45% of it.
Yeah.
So it would have some control, but it wouldn't be like...
So Matej Rimac just wants to come up with batshit ideas and go...
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Send it. He wants to be man like Koenigsegg.
Did you know what?
Man like Gordon the Murray.
It only makes him cooler in our eyes.
Fair. Yeah.
Because one day is the sort of thing that an R32 Golf owner would do.
Still a dream guest.
You know, he'd chop that resonator out on the way to his board meeting, deafen himself, and then go, what? I want to buy the company.
What? Why? Well, I want to turbocharge my VR6 Golf R32. There's another piece of news.
Sorry. Confirmed. Yeah, so apparently he offered them $1 billion for their share April of this year.
Just a cool bill.
It's just quite funny. It sounds fake.
Yeah.
That's Bond villain. I'm offering you $1 billion.
$1 billion.
Porsche, did you calculate that? Or did you just sound like a cool number?
Where did that cat come from?
He said, I just want to be able to make long-term decisions, to make long-term investments and do things in a different way without having to explain to 50 people, which is kind of fair. I was saying about them owning it, was that they own 22% stake in Rimac Group, who own the other who own 35%. So it's all maths and boring, but essentially they're trying to buy out Porsche's stake to own most of it. Porsche would still have a little stake in it.
Everyone's trying to buy each other out. We'll make a bid. You know, you'll see us,
I'll buy TDC for $1 billion and then you buy TDC off me for...
I got a better idea. We'll get a loan from the bank.
And buy then we'll the bank.
Buy the bank.
Done. Right off a loan.
Exactly done.
Ben, keep your news hat on.
Okay.
Get your news phone
out. It's my phone with the article.
The Ferrari SC40.
Now. On the screen now. There it is. It looks awful.
I hate it.
I think Ferrari are done.
Yeah, when we revealed the test drive, we were the first people on Earth.
We were fairly early though.
Yeah,
not to the public.
Not to post it.
We weren't on embargo, but I think as a public
human,
we're a media company.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. But we had a live reaction. Now granted, the podcast went out a week later, but
of course. TDC live reaction, brackets 1 week late. I still believe I like that. I want to see one in person, but I like that the design.
Testarossa. But I don't like how they are pillaging their old names.
Agreed.
And now this is a one-off.
Yeah.
The thing that annoys me the most about it, I haven't even bothered to read into it too much. I know it's a V6.
It's 296
based, right?
Oh, I don't care now.
But it is a 2.9.
Oh, okay,
which is the same as the F40.
Okay, but that is such a stretch.
Hey,
it's turbo.
I would say like maybe it's like 10 headlamps, 10 LED lights and a headlamp.
I didn't hate that one. Genuine, I think.
Well, the engine is 2.9, isn't it?
But I don't think they designed the 296 and went.
No, it wasn't a long term thing that will make a one off.
Yeah.
But my problem with it is it is a one off.
Mm.
So you can have whatever you like. Yeah.
At least the Countach they made into a thing that I know they're still right. Is it 50?
Yeah, there's
100, but that's still a car. Like they're out there. I've seen one or two at Goodwood and shows and things like that. But you're just never going to see this.
There are some amazing renders of F40, like modern F40s. That if you were going to do it, they were spot on. Even F50s. There are some amazing renders of those. I don't know. Maybe there is some reason why that can't be done. But that thing looks so half-assed.
Yeah,
but it's also like I was saying this the other day. The F40, right? I think it's a great looking car, and I think it will go down as a fantastic design. But it's not complicated. If you looked at that as a shape, and you could very much take that image and draw it modern and make that same car. And at that point, I'm kind of in.
Well, do you remember the Eric Clapton 458 thing? Are you laughing because of Eric Clap cheeks?
No, it wasn't at all. No. You just hit the word Eric really hard.
Okay,
Eric. I just really laughed. Sorry.
Okay, so he had a custom. Do you know about this, Ben? He had a 458 made in a custom one-off like spec,
right?
And it was, I want to say it was a 512BB looking, so basically that. And it looked like a render of what a modern 512BB would look like. It didn't look great, but it looked like, it looked correct.
Mm.
And I'm sure he was very happy with it. All you'd have to do is that for an F40 and it would look incredible.
But why not? Because realistically, right? And this is always the argument everyone has with Bugatti stuff. It's just a body kit on a, like with the Chiron, they did loads of different versions of it, and they went, it's the same car, just with a different body kit. Kind of the same thing. It's a 296, which, you know, it's an expensive car, but compared to what this will have cost, I don't know how much it cost.
What have Ferrari lost? Part of me thinks, have they lived long enough?
Well, that was sort of like a teacher. Now, come on, gang, let's find out what has Ferrari lost.
Part of me thinks they have lived long enough to see themselves become the villain.
Kind of agree.
Wow, possibly
that,
fair.
That it's like the even Lamborghini, they've probably, because they haven't been around as long as Ferrari.
Yeah.
They're still almost in that cool phase, but they've lost some of the early like 70s, 80s, 90s stuff where it's like, we just do whatever we like.
Yeah, exactly.
We make doors that go up and make stuff stupid. Whereas Ferrari are now
I think it's so Ferrari are out, they're off the end of the board. I don't think it's possible. Lamborghini coming up to that.
Yeah.
Pagani is now in that early 2000s Lamborghini bit.
Yeah.
Where it's starting to get a little bit more corporate.
Yeah.
They're still chucking out cool stuff. Like that new, is it the Utopias, the new one?
Yeah.
That's still cool. But there's still airs of, okay, maybe we're now trying to make this a bit more mass produced.
Yeah, we're trying to make this.
We're not far away from having a little baby Pagani out.
It feels, this sounds stupid because it is a business that's trying to make money, obviously, but it feels commercialized. Where it's like, I'm going to make a car because I want to make it good, but also it needs to sell.
Yeah.
Which is, I know you do to keep afloat, but there's never just a, you know what, let's just make something ridiculous.
I don't know anything about anything at all.
I know.
Understandable.
And other people will know more about everything. But I think since Pininfarina went.
Agreed. No, I fully agree.
And I know that's only design and they're not having a say in engine, blah, blah, blah. But since that was Ferrari.
Agreed.
But design, I don't think it's very good. I don't like the new Testarossa thing. I don't like this. I don't understand why they take a design that is okay and they go, right, massive black strip goes there.
Well, the thing I was going to say is I think they have seen once or twice that cashing in on, what would you call it, nostalgia for a name has worked. And now they're just going way too far in on it, which is a Testarossa. Make it all look mental and dumb and weird. And okay, now give me the what do you call it? What's the Daytona? This one's a Daytona.
Hmm.
What are we doing with these names?
It's the, do you know what Ferrari are now? They're Disney.
Yeah.
Where Disney, you go, oh, Disney used to be the nuts.
Yeah.
And now all Disney do is make rehashes of old things that have lost the soul that the original thing had. That is, Ferrari is Disney. Look, Ferrari, if you're watching, look at yourselves in the mirror.
Brackets, they do not care. They get money.
I do not care.
We do not care.
It's disappointing because Ferrari is, it's Ferrari. It's meant to be, it's still, if you go to Italy and you see all the bits to do with Ferrari, it feels the same.
Yeah.
But the stuff they're putting out isn't matching that feel.
I think we've said it on TDC before and even on the podcast. Growing up, I was a Ferrari child.
Hmm.
Ferrari was the coolest thing on earth. It always was the coolest car. But I don't know the last time I've seen a Ferrari modern one that I've cared about.
Hmm.
That I've even thought, I think the 458 might be the last. I like an F8, but a 458 is probably the last one.
In terms of stuff that I would ever even consider owning, I'm not looking at much past like 2010, 2015.
Yeah, if I had the money, I wouldn't.
F12, 458 is the cutoff for anything that interests me, because that part of the draw of Ferrari is engine.
Oh yeah.
And now, and I know they can't do that because of emissions and whatever else it is, but part of the draw of a Ferrari or a Lamborghini is the engine.
Yeah.
It is an engine with stuff around it.
Absolutely.
If you haven't got a 6.5 liter V12 or a high revving V8. Then there's not that much to differentiate you from what a Lotus or Alfa or whatever could put out.
I mean, realistically, an F40 is a big engine with some tube and some carbon fiber.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it is. But yeah, it is probably one of the most iconic cars on earth.
Yeah.
It's not people.
And it's turbocharged.
Yeah. But people compare them to a McLaren F1.
Yeah.
People will talk about an F40 in the same breath as a McLaren F1. Gordon Murray spent decades of his life crafting that. Meanwhile, Ferrari, stick of the engine in the boot. Okay, yeah. Here we go. That's it.
I was at, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we may actually get him on as a guest, Stuart from SB Race Engineering. They deal with lots of very, very cool stuff. And they had an F40 engine, which I learned on that day is a £500,000 engine, and the gearbox is a further £250,000, which is, I can see why people don't drive them as much.
£750,000 in drivetrain.
Yeah, which is more than... three times what they were worth not that long ago, really.
You said he has a very cool story about.
He's got some really cool stories stuff they used to buy. But yeah, hopefully we'll do that in the next few weeks.
So
he was saying that they were, the base of the engine is 308. 328. Yeah. It's not that different. There's a couple of differences on the front and the back. But when you strip it down, the same with some of the base model Ferrari that they had.
So increasingly common Ferrari L.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of it because a new Ferrari thing comes out and I go, And I'm not saying that other manufacturers are actually... there's not many other new stuff coming out, does it? But if anyone should be able to do that, it should be Ferrari. Mm. So buck your ideas up. Brackets, you're not listening. Now, we'll take a break from your news. You've got more bits on here, but we'll move on to another anecdote. I put in here the fill-up curse.
Okay.
I believe there is a curse attached to all humankind when it comes to filling up a car, specifically a car you may have just bought.
Okay.
And a car that you may be slightly unsure about the reliability of, that you'll be convinced that it's reliable very briefly, and you go, cool, I'm going to put a full tank in that car.
Yeah.
And then moments later, you will have an issue.
Yeah.
Something that will either render that full tank completely useless because the car will die.
Yeah.
Or you will have that full tank sitting there for 6 months. And it only came to me when I the CL500, we drove basically 400 miles.
Yes, 400 miles.
Back from Glasgow. And then I drove it.
I'm sorry, I was going to say you drove it for a weekend, so you put another 6,000 miles on in a weekend?
Yeah, another 6,000 miles on it. But I'm probably 500 or 600 miles deep in that car at the moment. After David's very generous fill up, which actually lasted us all the way. I think I still had a quarter of the tank by the time I got home. And then I thought, you know what? It's my turn to fill it up. And filled it up. It's like, great, fantastic. £90 or whatever it was from a quarter of a tank. 5 minutes down the road, I hear. I was like, nah.
David's stuck in the boot.
Genuinely, 5 to 10 minutes after filling it up, I was like, it's the worst feeling because you've just spent a ridiculous amount of money putting fuel in any car now is expensive to fill up, let alone a CL. I was like, it was just this rev-dependent whir. I was like, so the suspension stuff is like driven off the engine. It's a pump, and the pump is quite well known for failing. And I thought, oh, okay, here we go. A big expense coming. And it was a big expense, but it's just that it was that £250 part. But I know every time you fill up a car, something's happening.
Car goes, all right, let's test out your metal, mate. Let's see what you made of.
It's like if you had a headache and you ate a big roast dinner and you'd feel worse because you're so full. You just, or everything is like, oh, you know what? I feel, is that just me?
I
imagine if you already didn't feel great and you ate loads of food. You know when you're really uncomfortable, okay. You're so full.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Isn't normally food help that?
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, imagine if you already felt a bit ill and you ate too much food.
You have that.
You're now like uncomfortable, and then you're like realizing, oh, okay. I've got a headache.
What if
like...
you had 90 liters of E5?
I think you'd feel quite unwell.
not well.
Yeah.
So I'm convinced that there is a curse attached. So I want to know who cast it.
Turns out Ben has been the one living correct all the time. Only ever filling up half the
this
tank.
This is a thing now.
Is it not true?
No, not anymore.
Ben the penny pincher.
No, it's because I used to... Do you know what? My brother used to do this. He used to always fill his car up like 10 pounds at a time. I used to do my head in. I don't understand, because I agree with you, because you still use the same amount of fuel.
You do it.
But it's because since having the X5 is so much money to fill up, I feel better to not do it.
Okay. Fair if you feel better, but it doesn't make a difference.
I know, I spend just so much money. But you also, when I come here, I know exactly how much it costs.
Petrol stations? Do you like being there?
I go there so often.
That sounded like Donald Trump when you said that. I go there.
I love it there.
But what I'm saying is you go there all the time. And then when you fill up that little amount, you may be forced to go to a petrol station you don't want to go to.
True.
Like a services and get rinsed when have your pants pulled down.
When that happened to me. Get fisted. Was it last night that happened to me?
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
When you had your Greg's pizza for dinner. Nice.
Well, I don't know why they'd be off camera making fun of my Greg's pizza.
Well, it was more because you said you've had Greg's pizza. You had a pizza yesterday for lunch. Yep. You then had Greg's pizza for dinner.
Yep.
You for lunch today have had pizza, yep. And tonight you're gonna have a Greg's pizza.
Probably because I'm gonna get home at like 11 p.m.
And
so
then
I need to get...
that's when he's gonna get his headache. You know, when you've had you fill up on pizza.
I filled up.
Jokes
too
on
much.
You! I already have a headache. what they're saying? Yeah, last night I filled up what I thought I needed, and then I forgot I had to go and collect Edwin from the train station yesterday morning.
Hello.
And there was a lot of traffic, and I had to go a ridiculous route.
Also, hold on.
I'm not blaming you.
No, just quickly, as if it's some detour. It's at the same place that we're at.
No, but
right
I had
now.
To, because of the, there was a crash, so I had to go all the way around a load of stuff, okay. And I was going up and down roads, and it was annoying.
Anyway, down the road.
Yeah, crazy. And so I was on the way home, I was like, oh, I need to get, my car said 115 miles. I was like, cool. Like, that's, my commute is like, I don't know, like less than that. So I was like, oh, shit. So I was like, cool. I got in the car. I got halfway home, and it went, yeah, mate, you've got not enough fuel. I was like, oh, God's sake. So I had to stop and get my Greg's pizza. So I got fuel. Then I stood there thinking, now do I get a bit of fuel now? And then in the morning, bear in mind, I leave my house at 7 a.m. just before I have to get fuel again, or do I just bite the bullet, spend £1 million on fuel now, and not have to?
I mean, a million minutes. It's just a tad too far.
Yeah.
I'll call it.
You're stockpiling fuel. Like
50.
It's clicked too many times if you get to a mil.
Yeah. It's just pouring over my shoes.
It's not on your shoes.
But yeah, so I had
not
I
your
had
hands because you're wearing gloves.
I was wearing gloves.
I almost used gloves the other day.
Hold on, for petrol.
I reached
for petrol.
No, this was diesel. I was filling up. I was filling up the Range Rover. It was embarrassing actually. I went to if anyone knows Bracknell.
Sure.
BP, there's a BP there.
Shout out Bracknell BP. That's where I bought my Greg's dinners.
That's where we filled up the microcar with diesel.
Yeah,
and yeah, that was tough. First pump, I pull up.
Okay,
I pull up. Okay, I get out and I pick up the pump and I thought that's an odd looking pump.
Interesting. You're going back on so much stuff at the
minute. No, I didn't put any gloves on. This is a different story. The glove I considered for a while. I picked up this pump and it was soaked. It was sodden in diesel. It was slippery as hell. My hand was covered in it. And I was like, you know what? I might have to go for a glove here. And then I looked at the pump and I thought, what a strange pump this is. And I went to try and put it in my car. And I thought, oh, that doesn't fit. And I kept looking at the pump.
I know.
And I kept putting it in. And I looked at it and I was like, what is this newfangled pump arrangement? I was like, well, no one's told me anything. There was no signage around. I looked up HGV only.
Yeah, HGV, that first pump.
But normally, for me, first pump, that feels odd.
Yeah, I agree.
Banish HGVs to
why is it,
a separate pump.
Why is it HGV only?
It's a chode.
But why?
For HGVs.
But what I'm saying is it's still diesel, right?
Yeah, no, but they're probably putting 80,000. They're probably putting what, you know.
I think they have an auto clicker on it, which we're not allowed.
I found it really interesting. This is such a kind of related, but I didn't know how much it cost to fill up a lorry with fuel.
Okay,
I found out. I got really intrigued, and whenever I went to a service station, I drive past a lorry, like, you know, they have a separate area to fill up. I drive past it extra slowly to see how much the last person paid, and I used to baffle me. It's £1,000.
Yeah,
Anyway, that's my story.
£1,000.
Yeah, yeah, it's like £600 to £1,000 for a. Yeah.
So
for
what's that like? 800 liters or something.
It's a lot.
Oh yeah, it's a lot. But it's because they've got the size, they've got the tank.
It's because they're really big.
F40 saddle tanks.
Yeah,
yeah. But
I like how, and I've never actually understood why or asked why, is when you get a lorry driver or a van driver in front of you and they go, "What's a reg?"
Because it's for, I think it's for fuel cards. It's for tracking the amount of the cost.
See, I just thought, you know, what's a reg, mate?
Just testing you. Is that really?
Is that a lorry?
Is it private?
Comes back as a ninky nonk.
Yeah. Should put diesel in that.
What were we saying?
I don't know.
That was the end of the anecdote.
That was the end of said anecdote. Now, you've had enough fun. Back to the news.
Oh, it was gloves. Sorry, yeah, go on.
Yeah, no, I considered the glove. I felt chode, was wrong. You know, I got embarrassed. I had to go to a different pump.
If you live by the glove, you die by the glove.
But despite it being absolutely covered, I didn't do it. I wiped my hands on my jeans and I went to another pump.
I get scared now after this podcast to wear gloves because there was one time I was filling up my car and someone who listens to the podcast recognized me filling up my car.
And you were wearing it?
Yeah. They didn't say anything about the gloves, but I was acutely aware.
They knew.
They might have known.
Yep.
So whenever I go to a petrol station and it's somewhat busy and there's lots of people around me, I look around to make sure that no one's looking at me with a glove on, which is probably wrong.
Stealth gloving.
Yeah.
You should take your own glove with you.
We still need
the custom glove.
That's so much worse.
Ben, you've put some more news in here.
Yes.
The LFA successor revealed December the 5th.
Yes. The LFA successor will be revealed on December the 5th.
Wait, hold on. That's news to me.
What car?
Lexus LFA.
It's going to be revealed.
The successor will
be. What day?
When? December the 5th.
Oh.
Christmas. Only two weeks away.
Only 2 days away.
This is a V8 now.
Yes. And now, now this could be complete fake news. I saw a sound comparison.
I think I did too.
It was the Toyota something.
Yeah.
The early Great. Whatever it was. Whatever the one before the LFA was. Like,
wait, what?
We're talking, it's a Toyota something.
GT, what?
I don't GT1? Know. I don't know. I don't know what it was.
A race car type thing?
I don't know. Because obviously Lexus is just Toyota. But anyway, then there was a video of, it was like three in a line. There's a Toyota car. Then it was a Lexus LFA with the amazing exhaust note. And then it was the, allegedly going to be called the LFR, might not be, but the new V8 noise. And it sounded okay.
Now, in my head, I think I might have seen a Nürburgring testing video.
Yeah, there's lots of those.
But it sounded to me just like the Lexus, like LC500 noise.
If it doesn't sound good, they've missed a bit. There's a big issue there. Because that's the if you're going to go, right, if you go, okay, we're making a new supercar. Everyone goes, all right, cool. Brand new model. If you go, it's the LFA successor.
Yeah, it's got to be special.
Like, it's got to have the noise.
This is what I'm saying about engine shit in supercars. It feels like no manufacturers take note of the fact that the engine is, they want to go, oh yeah, but the new V6 makes 9,000 horsepower. That I do not think that the LFA, if it had a V6 or even a V8 or whatever, I don't care if it revs 90,000, 100,000.
Yeah.
That I do not think it would be remembered in the same vein. The same as the Carrera GT, or any of those cars where they would not have the same, they would not sit on the same pedestal that they sit on now.
Agreed.
If they had not even a NAF engine, but an engine that doesn't fill your head with joy.
I know there
beans.
there is noise and emissions and it's annoying, but where is the passion?
Where's the aggression?
There is no passion. There is no aggression.
And just make it loud. That, for me, I actually think that is possibly the most important part of that car. If you're going to market it as the LFA successor, which they might not actually be doing, it could have been put on by journalists, but it's implied that it is the next one.
I mean, if you're calling it an LF whatever,
exactly, yeah.
you need to be part of the gang.
I would literally hire a team to make the exhaust.
Like, I would say as little love as it gets, the NSX successor did well.
Yeah,
it did. It sounded pretty decent. It had its. It missed the manual, but it has. It had the vibe.
Yeah,
and we're going off vibes.
But the LFA realistically is probably the only modern car that, if you take the OEM exhaust off of it or change it, people get upset. There's no other car that I think
I heard a straight pipe once on a video. Someone was talking about it. It was like, if you straight pipe one, it's awful.
Yeah. Well, there is a very good video. I was actually meant. I don't know if I talked about this. His name is Meister. He does lots of sound resonance, like tuning. He understands that sort of stuff. He's done stuff with Merc V12s. Really good, interesting YouTube video where I believe he is trying to build an LFA exhaust to see if he can replicate the noise. But Yamaha did not have anything to do with the exhaust.
They were just engine.
They built the intake and they tuned the intake.
Ah, interesting.
So there is a new book written by one of the developers of the exhaust of the LFA And it's not, it did not, that is a common misconception. I thought that too.
That's cool. Mm.
It's the classic, you know, Yamaha actually did the
exhaust. They make instruments.
Yeah, that's why it sounds so good. But there is a lot of ridiculous engineering behind why it sounds the way it sounds.
Mm. That's the thing, is the last one sounds so good, you have to make the new one sound. It's a V8, it's never going to sound as mental as that. But you could just try and make it sound, just try.
I also think it's a good explanation of how important it is. Because how often do you hear people talking about the LFA's performance?
Oh, no, no.
I couldn't even tell you what the 0 to 60 is on it or the top speed.
It's not
part of the discussion. It's just, look at that special thing. Mm. And also, I like how it looks. It's not mental.
No.
It's pretty a reserved looking thing.
I think it looks just okay.
But yet everyone knows what an LFA is because it has that special sauce.
I would have one.
Yeah, you would.
I don't even like that.
Maybe if the X5, you know, maybe trade one in for the LFA or...
Don't really want to downgrade.
But also, realistically, that is it's not the best combination. The engine and the noise, is it?
Yeah.
It's got a not that great gearbox. Yeah. Looks aren't that great. And it's a Lexus.
I think it
hasn't got that much going for it. But the engine and noise combo is what made it what it is.
But yeah, I would say if you put a top 10 of supercars, LFA would get discussed.
The next section is fire marshal training. Edwin, would you like to take it away?
I will. Okay. The last week, myself and Will, and then also Auto Alex and Rory, had to go to fire marshal training, a course in the UK. If I'm honest, I'm still not aware why we went, because apparently it turns out it's not a legal requirement for us. It just became a day out.
This is the boring part of the business, which is making sure things are safe, making sure we are running everything correctly.
No.
This is an actual workspace rather than it being a workshop with everyone shouting at each other.
So we were told to meet Top Gear spec. I was the first to arrive. We were told to meet at a local St. John's ambulance place. Classroom, that's the word I'm looking for. And we walked in and there was maybe 15, 20 other people. And instantly we all started mucking around like children. Fine, normal. But there came to a part of the fire marshal training and the host, who was also very Alan Partridge, said, right, guys, I'm going to show you a series of photos up on the screen. They're going to be, you know, a little bit tongue-in-cheek. They're going to be a little bit over the top. But there's some examples. See what we can spot that's incorrect. And they showed like a workplace and it was... You know, there's fuel about to fall onto a radiator that's being covered by paper. It's like, yeah, flammable hazard. Mm. There's a dude standing in front of the fire exit smoking. So, you know, it was over the top, but it was clear to see there are issues. Point them out. Cool. He's happy. Move on to the next one. Mm. Next one was a supermarket. Kids playing with a fire extinguisher. Someone blocking the fire exits. Your classic, right? He then went, ooh, now this is a bad one. And he flicked over to a workshop. An illustration of a workshop. And what we saw was the TDC workshop, really.
Yeah, in reality,
it's what it was. It was a two-post lift with a car on it. Someone was under it, oxyacetylene torching part of the car, which had sparks flying everywhere. Underneath the car was fuel cans, loose paper, oil on the floor that had spilt, electrical cables, someone else working on another car, and a man smoking by a skip.
A man painting a car.
A man painting just a car just outside it. And a man smoking on a skip just outside the door. And the man went, oh, this is bad. And he had heard that we kind of worked on cars and looked at us and went, bet your workshop's not like this, is it? And we all went, no.
Yeah,
because
it's actually much worse.
It was. Yeah. And there is a photo, I'll put it on screen today. I was grinding something, and it was just a reproduction of the photo. It was me charring sparks onto a tinderbox of papers. So we need to up our fire safety.
We will be upping our safety because that is
It was as funny as it was to be class clowns for the day. It was a little bit like, you know what? If we had an issue, we're having a big issue.
Yeah,
it's your wake up call.
It was.
So you know what? It's all fun and games until it's not fun and games.
But.
It, you know what? It's all shits and giggles.
Until someone shits and giggles.
No, until someone giggles and shits.
That's funny. There we go. On fire. if your company comes to you and says you need to do fire marshal training, I recommend it.
Yeah, you get to wazz a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, we were great. Arsonists.
Yeah, that was fun. That was not... He shouldn't have... He made a mistake.
Yeah.
He chose half the class to be arsonists and attack a building, as in your brain, come up with a way to attack a building, and the other half to be the people trying to protect the building. Unfortunately, the four of us, we were given the arsonists.
Now, just to give you a brief rundown of the scenario we came up with, we were going to murder the security guard.
Yep.
The first step.
Make sure he was out of the way.
And then I would be an electrician called Dave with two A's, who is from the Netherlands, anywhere in the Netherlands. He would be wearing a high visibility jacket with the AA on the back, and he would approach the building with a fake ID.
Yep.
With the mission to put 9-inch nails in your fuse box so that not necessarily the fire would be happening right now, but tomorrow morning or at some point, your building would go off in flames.
It would go off in flames.
Yeah, and the other team, they didn't look impressed.
They were baffled. We were quite happy. We were laughing. He then asked, why are you trying to do this? We said, take their business, mate. That was it. So apologies, St. John's Fire. Yeah. He's a very good sport, and we actually did listen to him.
We took it very seriously.
Yeah.
But it was also great fun, and it felt like being 12 again.
But yeah, whoever managed to break in and illustrate the TDC unit so perfectly, I don't know, I want our keys back.
They looked at all the videos and went, right, we really need to humiliate these guys here. Benjamin.
Hi.
We want to round it out with some car sounds. It's been a while.
You've gone away and got some sounds. You had to go into another room.
For those of you unaware, this is a section where we like to make Ben test us on car noise because we are just quickly, a little aside, something that you got quite confused about the other day is Ben showed me a video of a car and said, "What wheels are these?" And it was a video of the wheels spinning on the car. And I said, "Oh, those are T37s. Oh no, sorry, they were C28s. And he went, "The bit where the car stopped isn't there yet." I was like, "Oh no, it doesn't matter." And I reckon, Will, you're the only other person I've ever met that can do that as well.
I don't even know how.
Yeah, I don't know how. It's
maybe there's something in the frame rate. Something in the frame rate of your brain.
It's that word. Yeah, there's a diagnosis there somewhere.
I'd say there's a smidge of it. Anyway,
of it.
Anyway, what I will say is that these guys decided about, would you say 30 to 40 seconds before we press roll?
I believe you should always have 5 backed up at any one moment.
And then also the car videos.
Wow, crazy. I sat on the podcast and they went, "Let's do some car sounds." I went, "Okay, I need to go sit in the room now for 5 minutes and work this out." So,
and you did it.
Yeah, but I don't, you might guess them. And the thing is that
you might guess this guess again.
But I don't want you to, because the thing is that it's not fun if you just guess it straight away. Because you'll hear like, oh, what's that? There's the door shut.
We didn't get them all right before. Yeah, and also it's not for us, it's for the creamers to play along.
Of course,
we have to allow a small pause for them to think.
Yeah, but exactly what I mean. If they're like in their cars on the way to work or having a poop and they're listening to the podcast.
What a strange thing to do.
What, people listen to the podcast, what's the...
Right. How long is their poo?
Leave your proclivities aside. Ben.
We make YouTube videos, guys. I don't know what you think people are doing whilst they're watching them.
True.
Number one is...
DB9.
From the tap
of Ben's phone, I know what car it is.
There is a psychological element that is trying to think of what Ben would think.
No, this is where I'm going to hear a Honda S2000.
I was about to say,
it's not an S2000, is it?
Is it a Honda S2000 with the UK exhaust mod?
It is. No, yes. It's because they're all in my YouTube history, so I just saw it.
Okay. What else is in your history?
It needs to describe me. Doesn't have that yet.
There's an Alan Partridge video we were watching earlier.
Monday is mince day.
Right, here we go.
And can I get confirmation that this is a road car?
Yes.
Right. Okay. That messes up.
My first base is E92-ish.
Was going to go with an Audi.
Yeah. Okay.
Like an RS5 or an R8.
Can I get
specifically
that?
Specifically an S-tronic R8.
Oh, I like that.
V8.
It revs high.
It's gonna be something else, isn't it?
I'm gonna go with.
You're actually quite annoyed about this one, but go on.
If that's an E92, I'll eat my own hat. I reckon I can guess an E92.
What is it then? What is it?
Miles away.
I don't think it is, but I'm gonna go with E92. That was my first brain.
It could be a very standard E92.
Yeah. No exhaust mod, no nothing.
That was a Bugatti Tourbillon.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Very. Yeah, what? That sounds like it revs very high.
10,000. On the gauge, it says 10,001.
Wow.
It's Cosworth, isn't it?
Interesting.
It's
got a YB in it.
Got bloody rolled out tip in that.
Honestly, whack a bigger turbo on that, you'll fly.
Cosy in the Bugatti.
What color is your Bugatti?
Yeah, so that's a V16.
Yeah,
nice. So that's why I thought I'll catch you.
It's guard. Two E92 M3s, that's why.
Fair, you know what? Props to the RS5 and the R8 that I thought it was that.
Yeah.
You now sound like a tourbillon.
Next.
Now,
first of all, that's great.
Now
it sounds like 6.5 Ferrari.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now obviously that falls into many models.
But he also, do you know what it had right at the beginning? It had the airs of Zonda right at the beginning. But no, it's not the shifts are too quick.
It's F12, 812, FF.
Choose on.
That's so silly.
It's not guess whether it's a play, car play, or not. Play, it's one, guess
play,
the car.
Play one more.
I'm going to say 812.
It's real drive.
812 Competizione.
I'm going to say that is an F12.
Revuelto.
No way.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about that because
it's somewhat cheating because it is modified. But
Benjamin,
you're not going to get, I wanted that car, and you're not going to be able to hear it properly because it's quite quiet.
Yeah, but you can, but that's how you know. That's how you can
But tell. That's just loud car.
That's just loud card up, PNG.
I mean,
listen, you guys.
Interest
also,
that.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome to
find them and then
to go on the easy round. All right, but if you want to be good at cars, you have to be.
I'm disappointed at that one because the other modified Revuelto sound more like an Aventador.
Yeah, exactly.
So that
that was a
Gentani. That was a curve. Was it actually?
Yeah. The car was in the video. It's doing a pull towards you and then slows down and stops. Okay. In front of you.
Sorry, it was a little bit of intake.
So you're hearing it from the front, not the back.
Okay.
Now you're
noted.
Cream, I bet you Creamers at home probably got 2 for 2. Yeah. I reckon there's some Creamers that got that.
I think we're on 3.
Oh, true, of course. The S3000.
That doesn't. That, oh, yeah, doesn't well, count, I did yeah. 5, and that's the S3000. That was a.
This is how the game works. Round.
Yeah,
this
is a warm up.
That was
Hello, mate. I know that noise anywhere. I know that video. It's the video of it. It's with the animations of, like over the top.
It's actually not.
Is it not?
It's just an exhaust shot.
It is the LFA.
Like, that's LFA?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not asking. You're asking me if it's LFA. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's LFA.
Thought I'd throw an easy one in there for you.
I used to love that. There's a video that is, it's on a track, but it's like almost animation, almost not. It's like hyper, what do you call it? Edited footage of it on a track. So it's not real. It's just beauty shots of the car going past, but with the noise of it that's being cool. On track.
Oh, that's good. Right. I don't know how many we're on.
We're at
3 or 4, but we're going to keep going.
That was the third.
Turbo.
Yeah. Veyron.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's W16.
He could be a Chiron. Sure. I don't know what a Chiron sounds like, but I think that's a Veyron. Oh, no.
Chiron.
Is that the new one? Is that the...
Or, was it the Blancmange or whatever it's called?
Is it a Strong Beaval? Is that the one?
Yeah, but yeah,
Minstrels, that's the one.
Because there's a really good video of
Christian
of
Rimac taking
Koenigsegg von
CVK.
Yes, he's taking Mr. Koenigsegg out on it, and they're like two small boys
listen
to the turbo noise.
I that one really wasn't on the list. I just kind of looked at the tourbillon and then it recommended that video to me because it's Chiron in nature, but because it's convertible and the intakes are right above your head, you get that crazy blow off noise.
I love, you know what? I used to hate, and I still, it's not a good noise, the Veyron Chiron noise, but it is unique.
Yeah.
I know that noise.
I think in that application, with because I don't actually know how much you can hear in the Chiron. Obviously, it's like luxury as well, right? So I'm sure it's relatively refined inside, but that would
be a lot
there,
of turbo noise.
Yeah. Oh, it's the same like the P1. The P1 turbo noise is, whoa.
Is it like X5 with a sort of like
with a pod
EGR
filter.
EGR delete?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Okay, here we go.
Interesting.
Do you want some context to where the camera is mounted?
Yeah.
On the back of the car. So you're facing down looking at the exhaust.
Could I
get half of it one more? It's got like Z06, but like
now that's high pitch. I believe it's LS.
it's really high pitched.
It is yeah.
That's like a GT350 or something.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
God, do you know what? I was somewhat hesitant for this game because it has to do lots of research, but do you know what? This is great fun for me.
That means it's
I think it's something LS based. It has that weird LS. What's that?
LS based?
It's UK based.
Yeah, okay.
It's not that Lexus thing.
It's
it?
Too. It revs too high.
No, Lexus, I couldn't find the video of.
Revs too high for that.
It's manual.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like.
You know what? I'm gonna lock it in on a Z06.
What did I say? I said something to you.
You said it could be a
like
GT3.
Something like a GT. Yeah, I don't think it is, but let's go with that.
It also has weird airs of like 355 Ferrari, but not. Yeah. But not.
Interesting.
Is it
F40?
F40.
That's an F40.
Yeah. That's spitting flames and stuff. I don't know. It might be modified. It didn't say it was modified in the video. It just said F40 brutal acceleration.
To be fair, most of them have either like a tubey style or a.
Okay, but that was F40. Yeah.
Damn.
You know like what? An Inter 360 mount on the back.
Disappointed
oh,
that.
It's that's Power Slide Lovers video. I think.
Normally they're
the classic video with the flames at night. Mm. The F430?
Yeah, probably. And I'll do the last one.
Oh, here we go. What a bonus round.
It's upsetting me because it's failing.
Run it again, Ben. Cut. Oh. Now that's hard to
that
watch.
That sounded
that's
like
a passing.
It's like on motorway. It comes behind you, just a little pull past.
Sounded can I get that one more, please?
Of course you can.
A Maserati.
Also, is that turbo noise at the end from that?
I was going to say, that it sounds like the...
Right at the end.
Well, I didn't actually notice that.
It sounds V8. I'm going to say...
I was a 918 or something. I don't know.
I'm going to say it's a Maserati, something with like a Quattroporte or a Gran Turismo.
We're back on the Ferrari grind. It's a F8 Tributo.
First answer was 488. That's annoying.
Mm, yeah, there you go. And do you know what? I'm going to do a bonus one.
Oh, another bonus one.
Which you'll get, but I saw it. I saw it, and I truly just enjoyed it, so I saved it.
Hey, that's, yeah.
Do you know what?
Is that one of your dream cars now?
The one for a C6 only is my favorite V8 noise.
Now, is that a Z06 or is that just normal?
I think a Z06.
Okay. Because they are a very different engine than the standard.
Oh, I want a Z06. Yeah. I want what I would love is exactly what we had on the channel.
Pro-charged.
I want a pro-charged, but not a convertible because that can't run. But with a big old lumpy cam. There are nights where I lie in bed and just listen to sounds of them. And that's the only car I do that with.
There is an old video of an ISF. I can't remember what it is. I think it's twin turbo ISF Lexus with a choppy cam. Well, it starts up and a Z06 starts up next to it. It just dominates the whole video. Mm. Like everyone's there for the ISF, but you can just hear bop de bop de bop.
I can't describe the sound of a C6 Z06. It's what we just played.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's not V8, but it is V8. Do you know what I mean? Where it's not like it's not like the Jag there. Where it's like a real like deep V8.
It's American. It is an American.
It's V8. Just it tickles my brain.
Yeah, fair.
When I listen to it, and I ever since that day when we had that convertible one, I can't unsee it.
It feels caveman in nature. Mm. It's so simple, but it's just so good. There is something to be said about an American V8 that is. Oh, Ben, also doesn't have to be inside a Corvette. We can get an LS and just take a lumpy little cam.
It has to be a Corvette. Well, if we do, also I don't want you to get a Corvette for the channel, please.
Why not?
Because I wouldn't want it.
Now, okay then. The price of Z06s is around about $30,000 mark for like a tatty one, going up to 40 in the UK.
Now, I'm going to say something, you're going to laugh at me. I thought, I was going to say that's not bad, but what I meant was, I thought there'd be more than that.
No, yeah, it's a pretty special car, but there are volume-wise, America makes their special cars even in volume. But what I'm going to say is a $35,000 Z06 or a $60,000 V12 Vantage, which would you like to work towards?
It could be a stepping stone. Ooh. They're both what I want to own. They're both up there, but it's probably still Aston Martin because that's my.
Well, okay. How
also,
about this?
I don't think I could own as a Corvette in this country.
You couldn't do it.
I think it's wrong.
Why?
It just feels wrong
to be Corvette man.
But I just like we had that one for the day, and it was great and fun. But I wanted to be.
It needs to live in America.
I wanted to be in Arizona in like sunset in the summer, and I wanted to come home from my job on one straight road, just doing pulls.
Fair.
That's what I want to do. I felt a bit if I was in Bracknell in November.
Gately.
On Winner. I got a dig cot in there.
Burfield.
If I had any of that and I had to just drive, you know, to a roundabout, and I just would feel wrong. It doesn't feel correct.
I can understand.
Left-hand drive is quite wide.
It's almost, it's like the meeting your hero thing, but it's like some cars, they belong in the setting they belong in.
However, a Monaro or something with a 7-litre in it, like that I could do.
Yeah.
Now, we've been thinking about them. So if anybody spots it, well, if anybody knows of one offline, I did mean to say this at some point. This is a little PSA for creamers. Will and I think we talked about it earlier, have some form of diagnosis. That's, can't talk about it on podcasts. But yes, we've seen everything online. There's nothing list. If there's a car we're interested in, there's nothing we haven't seen.
You need to bring us off the grid details.
It has to be cars that aren't available. I mean, I went on Gumtree today because I thought I'd have a little check about
that's
what's
unfortunate.
On. We're about. So if there's something that you know about offline, that's when you get in touch with us. But if it's something on Auto Trader or eBay, I guarantee we've seen it.
We do
appreciate any time you guys get in contact with stuff.
Because it's the cameras will stop now and we'll probably, it's probably half an hour till we'll go home.
I've got people to call for.
And it's going to be Edwin doing that, and then Edwin will be talking about one car, and then we'll go, yeah, but I found a egg on it's gone live 8 minutes ago, and then they go, yeah, but have you seen the new listing on eBay? And then
it is a
such is life.
Yeah. cars rule everything around you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Good branding that. I think
podcast. A podcast at the second time. Tomei Poncams. Right, I think that's
bed.
A great place to end. It's getting quite late now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Cars Rule Everything Around Me. We will be back next week, as always. Cars.
Cars.
Corvettes.
Monday is mince day.